Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to Romans 3 tonight. Now, Sunday morning we talked about having a living faith, and about being a doer of the Word or acting out the Word or stepping out and taking action. And I don't know, the Lord just kind of started talking to me about teaching on this tonight about the law of faith. And let's just read the scripture before we start commenting on this. But let's just go to Romans chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse, we're just going to read one verse. We'll read verse 27, Romans 3:27. If you have it, say, I have it. All right. Romans 3:27 says, where's boasting then? It's excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now, you know, we could say different things here, but I wanted you to notice the Bible says face the law. You know, and what's a law? Well, a law is a law because it works all the time. You know, I heard John Maxwell say this the other day. How many know who he is? He's used to be a pastor. Now he teaches leadership. He said, I was having a book signing, and he said, this guy come up to the table, and he said, I just have to tell you, I don't believe one of your laws, because he's always got law. He teaches like 20 irrefutable laws, 18 laws, 15 laws. He said, I just said, well, okay. And he said, I don't think you heard me. I don't believe one of your laws. And he said, well, that's fine. And he said, I don't think you heard me. I don't believe one of your laws. He said, and then he finally said, I stopped and said, it doesn't matter whether you believe a law or not, it works. Amen. You know, you cannot believe in gravity, but if you jump off the building, you're going to find out something's wrong with your believer, not the law, right? Amen. And if the Bible says it's the law of faith, how do you know it works? There's nothing wrong with faith. And you can say, well, I don't believe in faith. I don't believe in all this faith stuff. You teach too much about faith, Pastor. Find another message. Well, first of all, I don't teach about faith all the time. And everything I should teach should have some faith in it. Amen. And it ought to be the word of faith. It ought to produce some faith. But it's just not every message is about faith. But the thing of it is, if it's a law, it works all the time. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about different laws. Talk about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death. There's the law of sowing and reaping. You know, there's the law of success in Joshua 8, 1:8. You know, there's the Bible calls the Word of God the law of liberty. Proverbs talks about the law of kindness. You know, if you operate the law of kindness, you're going to reap from that, you know. And so there's all kinds of laws. Laws are irrefutable. You know, you can't challenge them. They are what they are, right? So faith's a law. But you need to know how to learn to work the law. You know, there's certain ways to work the law. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, some of the things tonight, about how to work the law of faith. But, you know, it's just like the law of gravity. It works. But, you know, there's also the law of lift. That's how you fly in your airplane. It doesn't do away with gravity. It just supersedes it and overcomes it temporarily. You know, I mean, when you shut the power off on the, you know, the airplane is coming down because you just cut off one of the dynamics of the law. You know, Charles Kapp said years ago, I heard him teach, and he said, me and my brother decided that we were going to build wings and fly down to my cousin's house. And so we made wings out, I believe, cardboard boxes, wasn't it? He said, cardboard boxes. And he fastened them to their arms, you know, and he said, we got up on the barn. He said, my brother Rex decided he was going first. So he said, Rex put the wings on, and he jumped off the barn and he hit the ground. And Charles said, I said to him, well, Rex, why didn't you flap your wings? He said, I didn't have time. You know, so Charles tried it, didn't work for him either. See, they had a great idea, but they were missing parts of the dynamics of the law, which is thrust. They had no thrust to push them through the air. And so you're coming down, you know. So there's certain things that takes an airplane, that takes to make an airplane fly. If you don't have them all, it's not going to fly. Amen. You know, if your motor cuts out, you're coming down. Now, you're not falling out of the sky. I was up with an instructor one time. He said, I want to show you what happens when the motor cuts out, you know, because he thought I was nervous because I was afraid I was going to crash. I was nervous about it. I was nervous of trying to remember everything. And so we didn't crash, okay? And so he just shut them off. And he said, see, we're not going to fall out of the sky. Well, I already knew that. I mean, you're going to land the plane, hopefully, in a cornfield or something. But faith the same way. A lot of people just think because they say they're in faith or they've heard about faith that they're operating faith right. And I can just tell you this just from almost 40 years of experience, most people in the body of Christ don't know how to operate the law of faith, or they just don't do it. And that's not a put down. I mean, it's just an eye-opening thing. After observing it, you just got to learn how to operate it. Well, how do you operate it? Well, it's really simple, and we're not going to teach just totally on this tonight. I've got some other things I want to say. But when you think about it, we hear it all the time, and maybe we hear it so much that we just let it roll off of us. But you operate the law of faith by your mouth, first of all, by what you say. Jesus said his disciples came to him in Luke 17, and they said, Lord, give us more faith. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, so that's not much. So he's trying to show them, your faith's not your problem, boys. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou planted into the sea. I don't know that Jesus said thou, but that's old King James, okay? But see, here's what I wanted to bring out. He said, if you had faith, you might say. Amen. So he said, faith says something. And of course, we know that's repeated all throughout the New Testament. It's repeated throughout many places. I mean, think about this. Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Faith speaks. What does faith say? Well, it says the desired outcome it's believing for. Amen. Well, and what does God do? The Bible says God calls those things that be not as though they were. All right, so there's all kinds of scriptures that, Romans, how'd you get saved? The Bible says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession's made unto salvation. So, no confession, no salvation. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. Now, people have an issue. I know you don't, so, I'm not getting in your grill. But, I mean, over the years, we've had issues with people over this, I don't believe in that confession thing. Well, it works whether you believe in it or not. There's a law of confession. You have what you say. Jesus said that. Brother Hagin didn't say, Brother Hagin said it, but Brother Hagin didn't originate it. He read it when he was lying on a sick bed as a young teenager. So he didn't come up with this. He just discovered it in the Bible. He popularized it, that's for sure. But it had been said long before he came along. Jesus said it. Amen. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. So that's the verse after. But right before it says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say on this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. You'll have whatever he says. So Jesus said you'll have whatever you say. I said, Jesus said you'll have whatever you say. And he started that verse out, King James, verily I say unto you, I'm saying this. I don't care what brother so-and-so says on the radio. Jesus said this. I'll take his word over anybody else's. Well, I just don't believe in all that confession stuff. Well, I don't believe in some of the stuff people do, but it's not true Bible confession. True Bible confession is confessing what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not what your silly mind thought up of.
Come on. Amen.
Are we preaching good tonight or what? See, it's not what you thought of or what I thought of. It's what the Bible said. And of course, we can say what the Bible said. We'll be in good shape. Amen. Glory to God. So the law of faith works by saying, doesn't it? By what you say. It also works, as we talked about this Sunday morning, it works by our actions. Like we talked about, those men that they had their friend, where they let him down through the roof, he was on his cot there, and he was paralyzed, and they couldn't get him in the room where Jesus was at, and they let him down. The Bible said Jesus saw their faith. So faith can be seen. Faith without works is? See, we already taught on this, but, just to refresh our mind. So faith can be seen in action, the way you act. I mean, if you come in, your lips dragging the carpet all the time, I don't think you're in faith. Have you ever, how you doing? Well, I'm just trusting God. I can already tell by your tone you're not in faith. Now, I know it's fun to get people to feel sorry for you. Anybody ever have a pity party? Every now and then, David had one. Remember, he cried till he could cry no more. And he said, well, this isn't doing good. Let's ask the Lord what to do. I mean, maybe it lets some things off. I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing about pity parties. Nobody else comes.
Amen.
It's just you. Yeah. Everybody else stays home. You know, so my point is we have to act it out. We have to take steps of faith. Amen. Whatever that might be, that could look a multitude of different ways, depending on what you're believing for. But how about you know, if you're sick, how about doing what the Bible says, acting on it? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, that's part of your problem. All right. What's the Bible? Well, it says a lot of things about it. It says you could call for the elders of the church. They could pray over you. It talks about different things that you could do. You could stand on your own, you know. You could have somebody to agree with you. Just make sure somebody really agrees. You know, you can do a lot of different things, but you need to step it out, right? It's like I've told you this several times, but, you know, minister we used to have come preach for us at the Revival Center. He said one time one of the guys in his church woke up sick one morning, and he told his wife, said, call down to the work and tell him I'm not coming in. And as she was going to make the call, he thought about what the Bible said. The Bible said, call the elders of the church. So before she could place the call, he said, wait a minute. He said, call the church office and see if there's anybody in there that can pray for me. You know, so and he said that this man, this pastor's church that I know, he said that before his wife got done dialing the phone, he was healed. So he told his pastor the story, and his pastor went around preaching a sermon called Dial for Healing. Hallelujah. It was a good sermon. But what did this guy do? He acted on his faith. He acted on his faith. Amen. You know, the Lord could tell you to do a multitude of things. I mean, you look through the Bible and some of the things he told people to do, some of them were unusual. You know, they were different and they were weird. But the good thing about it, if it's really God, it produces results. Amen. You know, if it doesn't, then it's probably just you or me. Amen. Now, here's the third thing. You know, if you're going to operate the law of faith, the third thing is this, is you need to be specific. Faith works better if you're specific. What do you mean? Well, people sometimes say, well, I'm like the phrase, I'm just trusting the Lord. Well, what are you trusting Him for? What are you doing? I mean, what do you want? Do you want God to help the doctors? Do you want God to, help you recover through that means? Or do you want Him to heal you and no doctor? What do you want? And see, you need to just be honest. What do I need to do here? You know, don't just try to shoot for things that you can't get. You know, that you're not ready for. But you know, because I was in a service one time, I don't forget, this was years ago. I was preaching in a service and another pastor. And this lady was there, and she had her granddaughter with her. And she asked me if I would pray for her granddaughter because her granddaughter was going in to the hospital the next morning. And so, you know, I prayed one of these nice generic prayers. And then I went back to go preach, you know. And when I did, the Lord rebuked me. He said, don't ever do that again. And he's like, you're like, what'd I do? I'm just being nice. I pray for people. Don't ever pray. What? He said, you didn't even ask that woman what she wanted. Does she want me to help the doctor tomorrow? Does she want me to heal her granddaughter? What does she want? Where's she at in this? Well, it's real quiet here. But specific. Now think about this. Think about this. I mean, Mark chapter 10. Jesus is just going, minding his own business. He's walking down the road, and all of a sudden there's a blind guy named Bartimaeus, and he starts hollering, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody says, well, shut up, man. And he wouldn't quit. He got louder, and Jesus stopped and said, hey, bring him here. And so he brought him up to him, and Jesus, now this guy is blind. You understand? It's pretty easy to tell blind people. I mean, he's got the beggar's garment. You know, he's got the Ray Charles glasses. He's everything, man. He's singing, you're so beautiful to me. Anyway, I know it sounded just like Ray Charles, didn't it? You couldn't tell the difference, could you? All right. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks one of the craziest questions. He says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Well, Jesus wanted to be specific. See, Jesus could have, what's he doing? He's begging, right? He's begging for money. Jesus could have given him money. He could have said, Judas, give him some money. Right? You know, Jesus, he'd have took out one pence and took out two pences and put one in his pocket and gave another one. You know how Judas was. hey, just the truth. But Jesus wants specific. What do you want? No, Jesus, what do you want? See, I can give you money if you want money, but I can heal you if you want healed. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. According to whose faith? His faith. See, what did he specifically want? You know, and sometimes you got to check your heart. What do I want? What do I want to believe for here? Which way do I want to go? See, don't ever think you have to do it a certain way. You know, you find out what you're comfortable with, what you feel right about in your spirit. See, that's where your faith's at right then. Amen. You know, there's been times when I needed money, and I'm just being honest with you, and I just felt like, you know what, I better go to the bank. Well, that's how quiet it is. You know, I could have believed God for all of it, but I just wasn't there for that. I've been there before where I just wasn't there, and I knew I wasn't there in this incident. So I thought, well, I'm going to have some help here, so I just believe God to help me pay this off. Now, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I'm not. You, now, wouldn't it have been the best, Pastor, if God would have just rained it all down on you? You know, yeah, it would have been. But you got to be honest. We're not always all walking in the highest. We're striving to. Are you with me now? You know, I remember years ago when Brother Osteen, John Osteen, had heart surgery, some people criticized him. You know, they just need to mind their own business. Is this good preaching or what? People just need to mind their own business. You tend to yourself and let other people tend to themselves. He had open heart surgery, and people said, why'd you do that? He said, because I like living. Now, he had had a time before. Now, I'm not explaining all this stuff. I'm just telling you the truth here. He had a time before when he was in the hospital to have heart surgery, and the Lord said, now go home, you're healed. And he went home and he was healed. But years later, he had a problem again, and he had surgery. Well, why is that? Well, you know, you kind of got to check your heart. What do I need to do here? Where am I at? See, you got to be specific. Everybody say specific. You know, I've talked about this before. You know, if we had a stick of dynamite, you know, and we lit it and we threw it out in the parking lot, all we got is a big firecracker. That's about it. It's going to, because the energy is going to dissipate into the air and be wasted. However, if we drill an 8-inch hole into the parking lot and stick it in there and light it, we got something to do this weekend. We're going to fix that parking lot sooner than what we were, because it's going to be blown up. Because what that power, it now has some place to go. See? Amen. And so, you know, to face the same way, you can just kind of, you know, and it's not that it's not faith, but it doesn't give you the results if you're just being generic with it or generalizing it, you know, and just, well, I'm just trusting God. Well, that's a good phrase. There's nothing wrong with that. But you gotta pinpoint it. What am I trusting Him for? What am I specifically believing for? There's times we need to be specific about it. There may be times it's okay to say, Lord, let me have whatever's best for me. But you got to weigh those situations, you know. Most time you need to be specific. What do I want from God? Amen. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She enacted, well, everything I just said here. You know, you got to operate the law of faith by your mouth, by your actions, and by being specific. Remember what she said? She said, the Bible said, when she heard of Jesus, she came and she said, if I may touch but His garment, I shall be whole. She said something, didn't she? Then she came in the press and touched His garment. She did something. But see, she was specific about what she was after. If I may touch His garment, I'm going to get healed. So she was operating that law of faith, even though she might not have known it. But she was doing all three of those things. And Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Ooh, that's good. That's rich. Hallelujah. So, you know, this law of faith, you know, you understand, just like there's natural laws, there's spiritual laws. You know, like in the natural, we have laws, like the we talked about the law of gravity, you know, you know, the law, you know, there's just different kind of laws, you know, like water always tries to seek its level. You know, these are just laws. They're just, you know, there's laws of aerodynamics. There's all kinds of laws out there. Well, the spirit realm, sometimes Christians want to think it's just haphazard, just whatever. You never know what, how many heard that? You never know what God is going to do. You listen, we do know what God's going to do. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. He's going to keep His word. Amen. Now, all right, let's go to James chapter 1. All right, hallelujah, everybody. Kind of on it tonight, stirred myself up a little bit. You know, I was kind of feeling a little lazy. I thought, I'm not preaching lazy, I'm going to stir myself up. Hallelujah. You ever feel lazy? It doesn't mean you can act lazy. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you can act that way, right? I felt grumpy before, but you can't act that way. Well, I guess you could, but you shouldn't, all right? You know, sometimes you feel down, you know, but you don't have to act that way. You stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to believe yourself? You just have to believe the Word. Amen. Now, here in James chapter 1, let's go there. James chapter 1, verse 6, James says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or doubting, for he that wavers or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." I mean, if you're doubting, you know, James, the King James uses the word wavering, because this word here, it means to doubt, it means to waver, it means both. But you know, wavering means, you know, you're you know, it's like you, like you said, you're like the sea driven with the wind and toss. You're up, and then you're down, and then you're up, and then you're down. Now, in the area of faith, what that means is that one moment you may believe it, but then the next moment, amen, you're down. Boy, have I seen that over the years, you know, where it looks like things are turning around, people are all excited, and then the next day they get bad news and they're back down again. See, they're just up and they're down, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not a good way to live life. I mean, even emotionally, that's not a good way to live life. You know, I worked for a boss one time, I had a boss one time, and you just never knew what mood he was going to be in from day to day. I mean, one day he was cheerful, the next day he was cussing and throwing hammers. And he's just, you know, I finally said, I had enough of this, you know, I'm not working for this guy. And so, and you know, because you just never knew. I don't know about you, but I don't like to hang around people like that. I like people that, you know, I don't like people that are up and down. Just because you're down doesn't mean you have to take it out on everybody else and make ruin everybody else's day. Hallelujah. You're not king of the universe or queen. Sit down and shut up. Act nice. That's good preaching, isn't it? Hell, I mean, just behave. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Lord said that to me one time. You don't have a right to ruin other people's day just because you're in a bad mood. I thought, well, that's right. Straighten up here. Amen. Because, you know, when you're in the ministry, you know, you have all kinds of things come at you, you know. People have go through issues and stuff like that, and then people say ugly, nasty things sometimes, you know, not too often, but occasionally, you know, stuff like that. You just can't let it get to you. You got to just stay up all the time. Hallelujah. See, with your faith, see, James said, you wavering, you know, you're up, you're down, you know, one minute, yeah, praise God, God's coming through. The next minute, oh, man, I'm having symptoms again. Oh, I thought I was healed. Well, I mean, you know, that's just going up and down. You need to stay on an even keel, an even plane. With God, that's the way you're going to receive. Now, notice what James said. You think I'm just making this up? Look at this in James chapter 1 there. He says, verse 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive," come on, everybody, "anything from" who? "From the Lord." You might receive from the postman. You might receive from the swan's man. You might receive from other people, but you're not getting anything from God acting like that. Hey! I didn't make this up. People say, "How dare you people tell me I have to have faith to receive?" I didn't say it. Right there it said it. I mean, I've heard that argument. Well, you know, tell me I have to have faith. Well, the Bible said it. It said, "Let not that man that's doubting believe, think, or suppose," don't even think it, "that you're going to receive anything from the Lord." Have you ever seen one of those parking signs that said, "Don't even think about parking here"? I mean, not only don't park here, don't even let cross your mind that you're going to park here. Amen. Well, God's simply saying, look, don't even think that you're going to get anything from the Lord if you're in doubt, if you're wavering. See, it's quiet in here, but, you know, God moves in an atmosphere of faith. Remember, Jesus went to his own hometown and said he could do no mighty work, except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, and he went about their villages teaching. And he marveled because of their unbelief, the Bible said. So was Jesus God? is Jesus God? But I'm looking back in his ministry when in there. Was he not God when he was there? Sure he was. You mean tell me there's something that God can't do? Well, he can't lie. And Jesus said he could there, didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. He could not do any mighty work. Why? Because God moves in an atmosphere of faith. A fish moves in an atmosphere of water. You take the fish out of water, it's not long, he's not moving. Right? You bring him out, he flops for a while, you leave him on the deck for a while, and he's gone. See, God moves in the atmosphere of faith. You have any other atmosphere around you, and he's not coming into that. His power's not coming into that atmosphere. His power is going to come into where there's faith. Hallelujah. So how important is this to preach on faith? Well, if you want to get saved, it's pretty important. If you want to receive from God, it's pretty important. Amen. So James said, don't even think it. Well, all right. You know, there's even a scripture in Romans. This is really hard for people to swallow. It says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Amen. And I know in that particular case, Paul was talking about people were arguing about, can you eat meat or do you just eat vegetables? And Paul was saying, you know, some eat vegetables and some eat meat. Don't let him judge the one that just eats vegetables. Don't let him judge the one that eat meat and the one that eat meat. Don't let him judge the one. Just, in other words, Paul just said, just mind your own business. He said, but whatever you do, do it in faith. Because if you eat something and you don't do it in faith, he said, you're condemned if you do it. Hallelujah. So anything that's not of faith, it's not good for you, your spiritual life. Paul talked about a couple in Timothy. He said that they cast off faith. He said, and they made shipwreck of their life. They quit believing God and they wrecked their life. Well, I've seen that. See, you know, some people, like myself and others here perhaps, have been around long enough to see, you know, we were there when when the faith movement was going strong. We were there, you know, when the teaching movement was going strong. We were there, you know, when people would, you could have a 3-day seminar and just teach the Bible and you'd have the house would be full. People were so hungry for the Word and so hungry with faith. And then we've watched some of those people over time, you know, begin to reject the faith message. Well, God's doing something else today and move on to something else. And we've watched their lives get destroyed, shipwrecked. Some of them physically die that one time believed in healing and things like that. And we've watched that over the years to where, you know, I made mental note of that and said, I'm not going that direction. I've been preaching this since 1982 and I'm going to keep preaching it. Because it's kept me alive, it's kept me healthy, it's kept me financially blessed, it's kept my mind sound. I've got a good wife, hallelujah. It's kept us, you know what I'm saying, it's kept us in peace and harmony. It's kept, you know what I'm saying, just living that way. Of course, she lives by faith too. If she didn't live by faith, then we'd have issues, you know what I'm saying? You know, but she lives by faith, she lives by faith as much or more than I do, maybe more than I do, probably more than I do. And so living that way has blessed our life, so it's too late to tell me that God's doing something different. He never changes. Well, you know, there's a new emphasis today. Well, you go help yourself, but I'm going to stick with what's kept me alive. I'm going to stick with what's kept me happy and full of joy. Praise God. I mean, if you go back, if you find, I don't know if I'd let you listen to them. I've got some that'll go way back, some of the cassette tapes. You find I'm preaching the same stuff I was preaching then. I haven't gone off on some new revelation. And you say, well, you're just dumb. You don't know anything else. Well, okay, maybe you're right. But anyway, it's working for me. Praise. I don't think I need to know much else. It's working pretty good. You understand, I understand there's more to the Bible than faith, and we teach on more than faith, and I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you, if you leave the faith message off, your life's not going to be very good. And I just watched over the years, when Brother Hagin was alive and people followed his teaching, they were balanced and normal and blessed lives and lived right. And then, you know, when he went to heaven, Phyllis and I said, well, who's going to keep the balance in the Word of Faith movement now? You know, and people start getting off and following other things, and next thing you know, their life's messed up, you know, whether it's physically, or a lot of them just got off into sin and just spiritually just on the junk heap. I'm going to stick with the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So, listen, whatever's not of faith is sin. You can't receive without it. So we need to know about this law of faith. Now let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go there. And I want to read a scripture there in Ephesians 6. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that have come over the years that I've watched. And I've just watched people. I've watched this. I've got preacher friends that I love them, but we're not on the same page when it comes to faith and believing God. We're just not. Now, I still love them and we still are friends, but we're not on the same page. Now, I don't mean this judgmental. Don't misunderstand me, and I don't mean this bragging, not at all. Just hear me out. But I've just watched my life and I've watched their life and I've thought, you know what? I'm happier. I have more blessing. I have more finances. I have more health. I have more peace of mind than they do. Well, I know it's not because I'm smarter than them. Some of them are way smarter than I am. What happened? No, it's because of the faith message. It's because of the law of faith, because of believing God. And I thought, well, praise God. I mean, you know, something must be right here. Amen. You know, thank God. You know, if you get everybody in your household living by faith and operating by the word of faith, you're going to have peace. Well, I mean, everybody's not perfect like Pastor Jerry and I, but, you know, it's going to be well with you guys. It's going to be well with your house. It's going to be well with you. Because we're all living by faith. Amen. Now, Ephesians, look what Ephesians says. This is so rich and so good. Paul's talking about the armor of God. We used to have a song. We had songs. Some were good songs. Some were just like really dumb, you know. Like, we used to have one, you know, in the charismatic movement, you know, shake a little hand next to you, hug a little neck, hug. We were kind of weird in those days, but, you know, we love God. Hallelujah. But we had one, you know, I'm putting on the armor of God, da, da, da. Charles Capps came along one day and said, why'd you ever take it off? Yeah, why did we? Did you take it off when you went to bed? Okay, we'll stop singing that song. All right. But here he's talking about the armor of God, and he is telling them, put it on. I mean, make sure you got it on. All right. Verse 16, he says, above all, taking. Everybody say taking. I mean, when you take something, that means you got to reach out and grab it, right? You know, if I had a $100 bill up here and said, now, if you'll take this, you can have it. Some of you finally come alive tonight, right? I'm on my way. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all. How many? All the fiery darts of the wicked. Now see, He talks about you have to take it. Well, how do you take it? Well, you start operating that law of faith. That's how you take it. How do you take faith? Well, you start operating by faith. You start operating the law. That's how you take the shield of faith. And he said you can quench, I like it, all of the fiery darts. Now, let me explain something here so we're clear on this. He didn't say you'd stop having fiery darts. Right? He said you'd quench them all. You'd put them all out. He didn't say the devil would stop shooting fiery darts. He said you'd put them all out. Amen. See, John said it this way. First John, he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. So taking the shield of faith, I've got a whole teaching on that. I think a couple of CDs that's not available right now, but or two or three, on taking the shield, how to take it. Well, one way we take it is by operating in the law of faith. We take the shield of faith. That way, you know, anything that comes our way, any fiery dart, we're going to put it out. Amen. I like it says all, not just part of them. And notice it says above all. Above all. See, you know, out in front of everything. That shield needs to be out in front of everything. Why? Because that's the first thing the devil needs to come in contact with is that shield of faith. Amen. Now, all right, we're getting ready to wind down here. I'm going to let you go in just a little bit, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show you this scripture. We're just talking about the law of faith. You get anything tonight? Amen. Just doing a little teaching here on the law of faith because it's a law, and the law means it works all the time. There's not sometimes, you know, well, I tried that faith and it didn't work. Well, you didn't do it right. Right? Just like flying an airplane. You may know part of it, but you got to know it all. You say, I tried that flying airplanes and it didn't work. Well, all right, but you didn't know everything. Amen. You know, like I heard one guy say one time, he said, this guy's a pilot. He said, another guy told him, he said he'd been flying around in a plane and setting up in the cockpit area with the pilot. And he said, this guy told him, I've been flying around watching my pilot fly this thing. He said, I think I can almost land it. This guy said, you know what almost landing a plane is? It's called crash. So, you know, that's the way some people are with faith. They can almost do it. But almost do it, still crash. You got to use your mouth. You got to use your actions. Amen. That's just, you know, specific is good too. That's a big part of this law being more effective, is being specific. And sometimes, if you're not specific, sometimes people are just general. Well, yeah, we believe in healing or we believe in this, but that's not good enough. You got to believe for it. See, there's denominations that, Pentecostal denominations that believe in the gifts of the Spirit but never have them. They believe them on paper, but they never have them. So it's not just enough to believe, you know, in a general sense. Well, I believe God is good. Well, He is. Well, I just believe the Lord in His own good time. No, His time's already come. He's already paid the price. Amen. You know, think about the woman with the in the synagogue that had been bowed over, the Bible said, for 18 years. Now, she'd been coming to church for 18 years in this condition. All right? Now, let me ask you something. Did the Old Testament provide healing? It did. See, the Lord said, you walk in my statutes, you keep my commandments, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if you get something wrong with you, I'll heal you. All right? Or that word heal is the word rapha, and also means you could literally translate that verse, I'm the Lord your physician. And it would not be an injustice to the Scriptures, because that word rapha means heal, doctor, physician. Right? And so you look, God told him, there's many scriptures in the Old Testament. You know, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So healing was part of the Old Testament. So did this woman have a right to be healed? But she's not healed, is she? Now, the reason she's not healed is maybe she doesn't even know she has a right to be healed, see? And so, she's coming to church, but obviously religion's prevailing in her synagogue and they're not telling her the covenant. But when Jesus gets there, I like what he said. He said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? Now, we've already talked about that some time ago in a service. We know what that means, right? That means she's in covenant. In other words, she has a right to be healed because she has a covenant of healing through Abraham. So Jesus said, shouldn't she be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? See, they're all upset because he's going to heal her on the Sabbath day. Well, they've had 6 days a week for 18 years and haven't got her healed. All right, so let's just see what this guy can do on the Sabbath day. How about that? And so he said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. Well, he wasn't announcing anything new. She'd been loose for 18 years. She just didn't know it. But once he said that, it released power, and she was healed of that. Amen. You know, and she was happy. The ruler of the synagogue was not happy because he did it on the wrong day. Religion is just crazy. And Jesus said, hey, if your donkey fell in a ditch, wouldn't you get it out on the Sabbath day? I mean, you tie a rope to it, pull it out, right? I mean, we're going to get this woman out of the ditch on the Sabbath day. Amen. That's religion for you. Now, but my point is saying this, this woman, even though it was the will of God for her to have it, she didn't have it. So just because it's God's will, see, that kind of religious thinking gets people in trouble. Well, if God wants me healed, He'll heal me. He knows where I'm at. Well, He does, but you've got to operate the law of faith. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, I was believing God and my Uncle Fred died. Well, I don't know what to tell you, except maybe Uncle Fred wasn't believing God. It's like Brother Hagin said one time, he's walking across campus and a student came up to him, running up to him, going to talk to you. He said, well, if you walk with me, you can. He said, I got a class. I got to go teach. I don't have time. He said, I want to know. And he said, Brother Hagin said, what is it you want to know? He said, I want to know why Uncle Charlie died. Brother Hagin said, I don't know. I didn't even know Uncle Charlie died. He said, well, I did everything you said and Uncle Charlie died. He said, well, what did Uncle Charlie want? Well, he wanted to go to heaven. He said, well, glory to God, it works. He got what he wanted. So you can't force your faith off on other people. You know what I'm saying? We can help babies in the Lord that they're true babies. That's one of the great things when people first get saved in your church. I mean, they think you are the most super-duper spiritual pastor they've ever met in their life because they all get healed. Because they're babies and they're getting healed on your faith. Then they grow a little bit and they think, pastor's lost it. Yeah. I went up there Sunday morning and I didn't receive my healing. Well, see, now it's on you. You know what I'm saying? You know, you kind of wean your kids and you get them where they go to the bathroom in the right spot, right? You know, God trains his kids. And after a while, you stop doing the paperwork. You know what I'm saying? I remember with the grandkids, it's like I hear them holler for me, and I'm thinking, this ain't lasting. And of course, that would be if Phyllis wasn't there. She's there. Get in there. But you know what I'm saying? Now they got to do their own paperwork. Why? Because it's time to grow up. Isn't that right? See, you do your kids a real injustice if you don't give them responsibility and make them grow up. Amen. If you're going to let them lay around and suck off you, you know, not work or not do chores or anything like that, it's you know, you're going to have some problems. Right? You know, well, I mean, they're just young. Hey, I started mowing the yard when I was 8 or 9 years old. You know, once my dad found out I had 2 legs and 2 arms, it took about eight years to discover that, or 9. But once he found that out, he's like, you get out there and mow that yard. I've got other things to do. It's called go to work so you can feed, so you can eat, you know, and have a window air conditioner unit in the front of the house. Hey, that was high living in those days. Praise God, it's better than none. You know, in those days, you just cut a hole in the side of the house and stuck it in there, you know. But see, God's the same way. I mean, when you get babes in your church, it's just amazing. Oh, man, Pastor, I did just tell you these testimonies and all. And then after a while, you know, God expects them to grow up and use their own faith. Okay. See, same thing's true. You know, sometimes people will come with those questions. I had those over the years. Well, I was believing and my family member died. Well, listen now. Look, you could assist them if they wanted to help you and get on board. But you can't just take over their life with your faith. You can't just say, I'm going to. If you could do that, we'd make everybody behave, right? We'd be using our faith. There'd be more people here tonight that's just skipping out for whatever reason. So, you know, you can't do that. They get, you know, they got to make their own choices. Amen. Now, where did I tell you to go? Did I tell you to go to Hebrews? Look at chapter 12. Look with me at verse 1. No, I'm sorry, verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So if we're going to operate in the law of faith, we got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Well, of course, we can't see Jesus physically. I've never seen him physically. Well, I'm open to it, love to, but I never have. But I can see his word, right? That's a representation of him. And so I keep my eyes focused on him. See, if you just see, there's a scripture in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4, that says, for our light affliction, remember that scripture? Is but for a moment. Amen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, I like the message there. It says, these small potatoes. I think, oh, okay, some of my potatoes look kind of big sometimes. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, I got a real good question here. How do you look at things you can't see? I mean, what if I told you, hey, everybody, take a look at the air. You see the air? It's invisible, right? You can see the effects of it, but you can't see it. You know, how the breeze is blowing. Well, how do you know? Well, trees are moving. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a monkey shaking them. How do you know? You can't see the air, right? You can't see. So how do you see things or nothing? Well, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what's he talking about? He's just simply saying the same thing he said a few verses after that, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Right. So you keep on reading in the fifth chapter, a few verses later, about seven verses later, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So he's just continuing on in this thing. We're not looking at what's in the natural. We're looking at what God has provided in the Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth said this one time. He's attributed this. He said, you can never pray the prayer of faith looking at the person needing it. There's only one place to look, and that's to Jesus. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, if you just focus on their problem, you can't pray the prayer of faith. It'll sap all the faith out of you. I remember the very first time I went into a, and this was years ago. You understand things have changed a lot. But years ago, I was just a young preacher, and I went into this ICU after this person had open heart surgery. And in those days, when they had open heart surgery, they did not know if they were going to live or die for a few days. Because it was that serious. It isn't like it is today, you know, where somebody has open heart surgery. Next day, they're up. I mean, when you went in there were all kinds of tubes in them. They were swollen up, you know, sometimes twice the size. And I went in there and I saw this person after they had open heart surgery. They liked to die in open heart surgery. And if it wasn't for faith, they probably would have. But I remember walking in there and seeing that. I was just young. And seeing that, and I thought to myself, I could feel faith trying to just leak out of me because of what I was seeing. And I've seen that over the years where you go in there and you see people in such shape, your faith tries to just leak out of you. You can't look at that. You've got to look at the Word. I mean, you're going to see it, but I mean, you don't see it. How many follow what I'm saying? That's not what you got your focus on. Your focus is on Jesus. Yeah, I know they got a problem, but I'm looking at Jesus. Well, how many Wigglesworth, he probably knew what he was talking about. I mean, when you read his life story, I mean, he had some pretty astounding, outstanding exploits of faith. Like raising a few people from the dead. Verified, medical verified. They were dead, D-E-A-D, dead. Whew. I'd say he probably knew a little bit about where to look to, wouldn't you? Amen. Well, the Bible tells us, right? Amen. All right, let's close out. You get something tonight? I want to look at one last scripture. I want to look at several scriptures tonight, but 2 Peter, let's go there. Very first chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says something here that is thought-provoking when you take time to just think about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's about our faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice, he called your faith precious. Amen. You have to ask yourself, now, do you treat it as precious? What do I mean by that? Well, you know, you need to put a high priority of working on your faith. Right? I mean, people prioritize things wrong, and it's easy to do this and forget that the most important thing in your life is your faith. He called it precious. See, what's the Bible called precious? Well, it calls the blood of Jesus precious. I mean, it's pretty precious, right? But then he calls your faith precious. What does that mean? That means I need to take time to look after my faith. You know, how many little babies are precious? I mean, we're so blessed. It's just a joy after church to see all the kids. I mean, you know, and there's another one coming. 5 days, my friend. Hallelujah. 5 days. Believe me, she already knew that. Hallelujah. 5 days. But just to see them, they're so precious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just can't imagine anybody harming them, right? You just can't imagine them ever being mistreated. I mean, that would, you know what I'm saying? If you saw that, you're going to go into action, right? I mean, could you imagine if somebody came in off the street and slapped one of our little kids? We wouldn't need a gun. I'd forget all about being a pastor for however long it took to kill him. Harm him. Harm him severely, you know. You know, you say, well, I don't know if you could do it. Well, I don't know if I could either, but I bet a chair could. You know, don't forget, I came off the street. I know a little bit about street fighting, you know. Maybe I didn't know MMA and all that, but I knew how to, you know, we knew how to use stuff. Okay. And so one thing we knew, get the first lick in, because it might be the last one. So don't even think about it. Don't even wait. Just throw something. Amen. So think about that. Think about that. That was kind of crude, but anyway. I was talking about your faith being precious. Now, what does that mean? That means you're going to value it. You're going to take care of it. You're going to feed it. You're going to build it up. You're going to make sure I have strong faith. You're not just going to slough off and do natural things all the time and forget to feed your faith. Because you're going to need it if you're going to overcome this world. And you're going to overcome the devil. And you're going to overcome the flesh. You're going to need your faith. You're going to need your faith. Because you're going to need God's power. We already read in James, you can't receive from Him without faith. Amen. So, you know, all the things you hear and all the things that people say, you know, about the faith message, you know, they're just ignorant of what they're talking about. It hasn't, you know. Now, okay, maybe people aren't as interested in it as they used to be, but I want to ask you, are they as victorious as they used to be? My observation is no. They're not. They're defeated. So I'm going to stick with what works. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.